And
Blog Talk Radio.
There's the cue. Hey, it's the consciousness shift. It's Thursday evening. We're going to play you a little something, then get back into it here and introduce our guest and say hello to Nicole. Hey, Nick, I turned you on. Are you there?
Nothing like the last minute.
Well, you know what they say. Hey, Todd must be a booger home.
He is three, one's in the middle unmoved, waiting to show what he sees to the other two, to the one attacking, so afraid. And the one that keeps trying to love and trust and getting himself betrayed. In the plan, ooh, the divine plan, God must be a boogeyman. One so sweet, so overly loving and gentle, he lets people into his innermost sacred temple. Blind faith to care, blind rage to kill. Why'd he let him talk him down to cheap work and cheap thrills? In the plan, the insulting plan, God must be a boogeyman.
Did that real well, didn't I, ladies? is Ruth Ann. You know, Ruth Ann, too, I'm going to mispronounce your last name. I always do. It's Amartesio.
Amartesio. Mm-hmm.
Amartesio. Can you give us the and Nick, this is Ruth Ann. Ruth Ann, this is Nicole Tomasini.
Hello.
Hi, Ruth Ann. Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And what is the etymology of your name? Where are you from?
It's West African. It's Ghanaian.
Oh.
Wow, nice.
It is.
Yeah.
My goodness. Chief Nana would love to talk with you.
That would be
wonderful. That's where his ancestors are from.
Nathaniel. Actually, those are my ex-husband's ancestors. I mean, well, not his current family is there.
Who are your ancestors?
I am. I'm English, Irish, Scotch, German, and Cherokee, American Indian.
Well, the red hair would have never told me that, but that's nicely cool.
You're a real redhead. I'm a $300 every 4 month redhead.
I'm in between. Mine is darker and mixed more with brown than you see now, so I understand.
My sister was wonderfully colored auburn. It was red when she was little. It's a wonderfully colored auburn now, but she colors it this dark, dark, dark brown and puts red in it. And it's really quite pretty.
Yeah.
Okay. We like to play with colors. Come on.
Yes. Part of the gig.
It's part of the gig. We were looking for a topic tonight. And Ruthann, first of all, please introduce yourself to our audience and let them know, because you're one of the indie blog talk radio folks that enjoys camaraderie with our shows. And so say who you are and what the shows are, because you've got some good stuff going on there with Akasha and Progress Towards Democracy.
First, that would maybe have more to do with the consciousness change would be Akasha Temple Live, and we're on Blog Talk on Monday, on Sundays and Thursdays, and we're a variety show, totally. We have interviews, we have Gaze of Our Lives.
You do a great job of that. I mean,
Down and Dirty, which is gardening. We have Witching in the Kitchen, Terratelic, Green Scenes, World News with an Attitude, and we're always talking politics. But then, three nights a week, I'm with my other partner, Brian Stetton, with Progress Toward Democracy. We're on Mondays and Fridays on the Akasha Temple Radio, and then on Thursdays, we're on Forward Blitz on Blog Talk. So
that's with Dennis, right?
That's for Dennis, on Thursday nights. He has Forward Blitz in, so he had asked him. We said, yeah. And then
what's
the difference
the Gaze of Our Lives part? What do you talk about on that one?
Gaze of Our Lives? Well, my brother's gay, and he's the other
host. Gaze of Our Lives, not Gaze.
Gaze.
Okay.
and so, you know, we have, because, of course, so we're quite interested in all of that. So, you know, some of it's political, some of it's just silly, but we talk
about...
That's
wonderful.
You know, different things. So we have a lot of variety, really. And we have on Sundays, we have a man, Matt Williams, who does Moments of Mindfulness, and he talks about different things. He also is a tarot reader, but he doesn't do that on the show because we have somebody else who does. But he'll probably, you know, have a small meditation for people usually. And it's very nice. We cover a lot of ground.
That you do. I've re-listened to, I go to the archives and listen. You guys and Pinko the Bear and Diane, I'll archive you on a Sunday afternoon or whatnot before my show or I'll be quite frank. I will mine your shows to get a few ideas for my own sometimes on Sunday. It's true.
I'm flattered.
like tag team. That's great.
It's true. Speak of the devil and him walking through the door, you know? Hello, Pinko. Pinko, the bear's out there listening.
Pinko,
talking
bear. Yes, out in Reno, I believe. Hmm?
Yeah, he's a Reno, Nevada fella. Yeah. I do. I will regularly do that. We were looking, Nicole, we haven't had time this week to actually get together and talk about it. It's been one of those weeks, hasn't it, ladies? I mean, things are
I had one of my friends text me on Monday, what the hell is going on with the energy around here? Because he had one of the most challenging emotional days, apparently, he's had in a long time. And this is, you know, a young, very positive, like, even keel kind of a dude, and you know, is just starting to understand all this stuff that I tell him about. He's my co-host on my I Love Nicole show, and to have him chime in with somebody who, again, very young chronologically, and also young to the whole idea of this consciousness shift. And go through that as well. I mean, I felt it. It was like a washing machine.
Well, I hear you. It's been that kind of energy that has absolutely been, you can tell by the news. We were talking, Ruthanne, we were talking, what was it, about topics tonight, and what did you say? I'm trying to remember how we came about it, but folks are real up in the air on the left side of the room, basically saying that all of this religious infiltration into the political process right now is just, my goodness, so overwhelming. And didn't we leave that off 50 years ago or whatnot? But that's not true. It never has been. They always interject that from the atrophied side of the whole argument, you know?
Well, remember, I don't know if it was the last or 8 years ago or whatever, Mitt Romney didn't get very far in his bid for the presidency basically because he was Mormon. At least I think that was the reason.
That was true. He used Massachusetts governorship. I was living in Massachusetts when he was governor, which he really didn't do such a hot job because he was just there saying yes and no and yes and yes and yes so that he could step off into a run for the presidency. That was basically what he did there.
Oh, okay.
It was not a corporate takeover for him like this is. At all. But we were talking about that religious aspect into it all. And I said, you know, the truth of the matter is that it's not our morals and our values are expressed pretty clearly in our political choices. Am I wrong about that, or do we not choose our candidates and our leadership, the people who are going to lead us? Don't we sort of choose them from what kind of a person we think they are and what their values are, and if they align with ours? Is not moral values a anchor of how we vote?
Absolutely.
It's that commonality that we feel we have with them.
Right. It's the spiritual expression. It's nothing to do with a religious or controlling socio-monotheistic kind of a hoo-ha. It's about who you really are, basically, is expressed. And, you know, it's a very personal, very intimate portion of how we choose our leadership. Some people don't even actually acknowledge it. You know, I don't think that people who, I wonder, both of you, if you would reflect back to me, do you think that everyone actually reflects on this, or do you think they just are so caught up in whatever their candidate is polarizing to them as a message, to really understand? Because I'm thinking we are not thinking for ourselves on a majority out there.
No, I don't think that people are reflecting at all. I think that most people have one or two issues, and they will go with the candidate who is closest to them in that, or at least in what they express, without looking down the road.
Mm-hmm. I think that's definitely the vast majority of what people do. I think that's what the majority does. But the others do, you do have a sense of who this person is. And you have to, well, I think you would have to understand that there is the political, you know, bullshit soup that they're throwing themselves into. You know, the system is so not perfect. You really do kind of have to see the person behind the bells and whistles, because everybody needs to do that dance. I understand that as an actor and being a spokesperson, and you have to fit into something that other people are telling you you need to be, but you can see the person behind it. And it's true. For me personally, anyone that needs to align themselves with something like Mormonism is already going to be a red flag. And it's not to say that, you know, I think all Mormonism is bad or all people that are Mormons are bad. Not at all. But I have to question why you want to align yourself like this and how there's a whole family thing. I don't know how much you're thinking for yourself. So that's my opinion. And then the rest of it just looks like, I don't know, Maybelline makeup and, you know, he said, he told me to say this. That's what Mitt Romney looks like to me.
There you go.
That was true. But it was
Yeah, Chanel, Maybelline, right?
I heard it. You highfalutin, liberal, elitist, you.
Well, I'm sure he would choose Maybelline. They support Israel and the Zionists, of course. Anyway.
Everybody has their polarized little enclave, I think.
Sure.
But, you know, I got to ask you guys, you know, Pinko's in the room. He's saying that the public is generally clueless about politics and the power structures and how it all works. And it is very frustrating. Because we give ourselves the chance to go out or give ourselves the chance. We actually embrace going and finding out who it is, and because it's something that we're naturally drawn to, which is how our world is wagging. We want to make a contribution. We want to see what is obviously very wrong to be righted. We have a stake in it. That's what we do, and it's part of why we're broadcasting over internet radio. We're banging drums and saying, please, you know, it's like, I don't know, I see all of this alternative journalism and all of us who are part of a network of getting communications going and the opposition to the corporate messaging coming out. I see us like the, you know, the circus that's coming into town, banging the drum, asking people to come outside of their homes and away from the televisions and the corporate line and saying, will you please hear what's actually going on? Will you please listen to the other side?
Yep, absolutely.
That describes it well. And people are. I actually think that this time around there's probably going to be more awareness than
there
ever.
Has, and I agree
you know?
There is. It's very edgy and hip and young for people to be gathering their information through the social networking, and Occupy has a lot to do with that. We can thank Occupy for that kind of a spotlight. But the corporate media would have you think that, I mean, I'll eat my hat if an actual percentage of 70% of the liberal or left side community or those who would describe themselves as old-fashioned liberals, I will eat my hat if 70% of them are agreeing that Obama is doing a good job, that they don't care that he has Gitmo open still and that he's doing what he's doing to the likes of Bradley Manning. And, you know, I just, I will eat my hat.
You don't have to eat your hat.
I think we're being lied to here, which is a strong thing to I'm thinking, that's so Ruth Ann, I mean, I know you talk about these kind of things with Brian, but on the spiritual side of it, I mean, on the consciousness shifting side, how do you see this as this equation right now, especially knowing that we're in a zone here of 2012 with a galactic alignment, that kind of thing, the woo-woo end of the bargain?
I'm very optimistic, but I do think that it's probably going to get worse. But I think we're in like the dying throes of this old way, but also then the birth pangs of the new. And so the two are meeting, and we're getting a lot of strange energy. But I think that the vibrations across the planet are rising, which is a good thing. And wouldn't you agree that people that maybe 5 years ago wouldn't have even known how to spell spiritual are actually sort of getting it, or they're wondering now, they're asking questions. They're saying, well, do you understand? You know, I feel different. Yeah. Things are different.
Yeah.
And so it's really happening. Yeah. I think it's, but that doesn't mean that I don't have my days when I cry and get discouraged and down, and you know, because everything's accelerating, and we're part of it. We're all connected, and so things just have to hit us sometimes. But the difference, whereas maybe a few years ago, if I got depressed, I'd be there for a while. Now it's one of those, okay, I don't have time for this, so you know,
right.
Shake myself up, get back.
Work through it. Let's go. What do we need to do, people? Get the ducks in line. Yep. You don't have time to wait for yourself, and you don't have to anymore.
Yeah.
You know what?
I don't think that we can discount either the connective quality that people are finding today through social networking. First of all, it's keeping a global revolution going. I don't give a fuck what they say.
It's still going.
And there's been a lot of talk. I'm a little upset because tonight we're facing the new mayor of West Palm is trying to evict us finally out of our corner of the city downtown, our Occupy group, and that sucks. That really sucks because we've been an asset to community building down there. We really have. Our group has been maybe a little bit different than a lot of the rest of them because we're not down there bitching and protesting as much as we're saying, hey, look up, because let's face it, we're in Palm Beach. There's a lot of retired people in our crowd. And their messaging is that, you know, something's very wrong. We've got to change it. Please listen. That's why I do the technical side of it, because basically when I'm down there, you know me, I'm bitching.
Oh, no. I couldn't imagine that you wouldn't be over in the corner quiet. I couldn't imagine that. No.
I've been in trouble every time I've been, but not in trouble. I open my mouth and I begin to speak. The guy from, moveon.org, I was the first one to go, excuse me, but what? What is it you're trying to enlist my, you know, membership in? I really digress there from the topic. I realize that. I'm sorry, folks. But send light to
occupy Palm Beach, please.
Palm Beach.
We really need it. We need it.
Well, I think that what you're doing, what you've gathered several people who have blog talk shows to have Occupy Friday, we're really enjoying the hour that we're on with Progress Toward Democracy because we're trying to get more and more people to be aware of Occupy and have the occupiers call in and talk. And so I think that's a good thing that you started.
You know, that is a group effort, but, you know, it took Diane reaching out and say, come on, let's put this together. And, Dusty was on and Diane was on Friday already. So, and we're trying to build more groups. We'd like to get Dennis to consider, you know, coming in on that Friday block.
Right.
Which I'd love to remind everybody that tomorrow is Friday, and the block of Occupy supportive shows begin at 4 p.m. with Mike Check with Here Be Monsters and myself. It can be stream of consciousness, call in, or guest. Tomorrow it will be a lot of talking about how we can work to keep all of our Occupy groups from being evicted. And then at 5 p.m., Dusty Taylor's What's Jerking My Chain This Week, which is commentary on the political week, and it's generally a left-leaning show. And then, of course, the very, very left, Woods of Michigan. We have the Wild, Wild Left with Diane G. And you're on at 8, right, Ruthann?
No, we're on at 7 Eastern.
Eastern. Okay, sorry. Yeah. So Ruthann and Brian are on with Progress Towards Democracy. And then at midnight straight up over on the left side of the country, which would be 3 a.m. our time, or 2 a.m. your time.
2 a.m. for me.
Totally worth it. Something you got to do is Pinko the Bear. Up late with Pinko the Bear from Reno, Nevada on Blog Talk Radio. He's good. He is really good. Pinko, and you listen to Pinko? Nicole, have you listened to Pinko yet?
I have. And he's something else, man. I like it. It's a unique, it's a great ride. I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
It's fun.
A lot of energy. Yeah.
And his ability to... first of all, to keep a train of thought and ride it through all the way to, you know, the next whistle stop is totally, you know.
Yeah, that takes training, you know. I do the same thing with that sort of stream of consciousness. That's the goal with this new I Love Nicole show is to have good conversation and be able to stream the thought through, you know, 3 or 4 stops, and like you said, until you get to that final whistle and it all comes around. And it really just takes focus, like anything else. I wonder if Pinko would agree with me, probably. So
I'm working on
that.
I'm terrible at it. I'm awful at it. I get on and I just start ranting, and I think I'm talking in that medicine wheel, but I'm not always sure I get there. I just put out what I think is the right message. I gather notes and, you know.
It seems like how it starts. You know, you start to, you have to let it flow a little, and then you can mold the edges, so to speak. That's been my method, because you kind of have to just float out there to see, you know, where your playing ground is, you personally. And then you can rein it in, and then somehow it really does come full circle if you're riding it right, I find.
Well, that's a good way to do it. It wouldn't work for me. I have to have the notes and direction. But that's definitely – Ruthann, you've been doing this quite a while. Do you structure – you spend a lot of time structuring your show, don't you?
More on Akasha Temple Live than on Progress Toward Democracy. But, yeah, we have definite times for everything. And we go over and there's a basic thing that we're, you know, trying to accomplish because we have so many segments with different people that we need to get in.
Well, that's wonderful, yeah.
And
I
do
that.
not do that so much at all. I mean, it's pretty much, I have him, he chooses some topic, and then, you know, we talk that, but we get off on other things, and then it will depend on what the people in the chat are saying or the callers.
Well,
so,
can I, you know, we're talking consciousness shift, and I'm wondering what the kind of consciousness shifting that you're seeing happening from your specific point of view. And I should mention that you're anchored in Chicago, Illinois, correct?
Right.
Good question.
It's a little different. One thing that I have to say, I'm very happy about Illinois so far. We have not gone to that right to work for the unions and things, which has, you know, happened like Indiana, our neighboring state did, and a lot of other places. We had a caller the other night from Arizona who was ranting about that because Arizona's totally messed up. But haven't, I mean, as far as that kind of a thing, and people in Illinois are more, well, we're very used to crooked politics because that's all we've ever known.
Sure, more than anyone else.
You know, well, we have one governor in jail, and then another is on appeal, but they're going to throw him in too. And, I mean, ex-governors. And then, you know, Obama came from Illinois, so hey. You know.
I was just going to say, I don't know if I can hold back on the crooked Illinois politics of being in the White House.
Right. Well, and then we have Rahm Emanuel as mayor.
Oh, my God. I just can't believe people vote for the guy.
I could either. No. No, that was decided way long. I remember, and I knew it was. You know, you get that way. And I told people then, so it wasn't just like, you know, looking back. But I remember he was in Chicago, and he and Mayor Daley were doing something together. Somebody asked him what he'd like to do when he got out of the White House. And he said, oh, I want to be mayor of Chicago. And, you know, he laughed, Daley laughed, everybody laughed. And I knew he would be.
That was it.
It was,
yeah,
that was
wow.
It. Right. Months
I
later.
I heard people talk that way,
yeah. Months later, you know, Mayor Daley said he wouldn't run again. And, I mean, his wife was very sick and she has died. And, you know, it was a very bad time. But all he ever wanted to do was be mayor of Chicago, just like his father was. And all things considered, he wasn't nearly the worst we've had, and we understood Mayor Daley.
Yeah.
He made some funny moves, but he did love Chicago. And Rahm Emanuel,
yeah.
I have a real thing about dual citizens holding office. I don't think that they should. So
I don't either, actually.
No, I think it's very hard to really do your best for a country or a town or whatever when you are also voting in another country, possibly. I'm not a fan of Rahm's. I mean, he's done a couple things that, you know, that looks fine. So we'll see. But as far as, no, just another crooked Illinois.
Well, you know, I kind of thought that Rahm Emanuel was responsible for most of the bad moves that Obama was making when he first got into the White House. I didn't realize that it was, you know, so complicit with the executive chief. I had, you know, I'm naive until I'm not anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because yep. I really am one of those people, I'll try to give people the benefit of the doubt and say, well, maybe I was wrong, maybe I didn't look at it enough, maybe this, maybe that. I'm pretty much through with that because every time I've done that, it turned out my first impression was right.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I won't weigh things out, but I'm not going to negate my feelings.
Yeah. You can't. That means you're not being true to yourself, and yourself said that for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the things, I think, just, you know, you asked me about consciousness change and all that shift in Illinois. I don't know just like state-wise because I'm thinking more like our country and then other countries, like you said earlier, about this is a global revolution. And
it is.
You know, I'm meeting people online and you're talking to them on Skype and all from, you know, all the way around the world. Their concerns are the very same as mine.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that's what makes this, oh, what a time to be alive.
It's
just
true.
I mean, this is the time. It's never been like this. So.
Well, and we're the vanguard. I mean, we're certainly, as you said, we're in that moment of when things are, you know, we probably will not see, as they've said for time immemorial. But then you have to remember too that time is accelerating too. What's that about? I mean, there's really the very real chance that we will see a complete change on this planet.
Let's face it, if we do not, the alternative is species extinction. And that really could happen within a generation. And
it boggles the mind that people are not...
It could. I don't think it will, but yes, it could. It could happen. but, yeah, I just don't see it happening that way. I think that we're just rising somehow as a people, and the people who are aware are sort of lifting the others a bit.
Yes.
Being
dragged
down by them. It's happening. And, you know, there's so many things going on, and like you were saying with the social media, we know so much is happening. There's a World Sound Healing Day this coming Tuesday.
Yes.
And I'm sure you've read about it. They're asking everybody at noon, your time,
yeah,
just do a 5-minute or om or whatever, trying to tune in. And if you can't do it at noon, it's okay. Within the 24 hours, do it, because the energy is circling the globe, so you'll be in on it. And, you know, we've had several things like this, and it really does help.
Well, I've been listening to several shows and I've seen several clips now. I don't know if you guys are aware of this phenomenon of sounds that are emanating from the planet.
Yes.
In different places all over the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find the clips on
numerous
YouTube. Very many. And there's a couple of shows. One of the best ones is Elric's Red Ice. He's got a fellow from, who's doing a project on it in Ecuador right now. The Human Resonance is the site that he keeps. And I can't think of the fellow's name completely right now, but... The Human Resonance is the place to look. Just Google it. And all of these different sounds are occurring. What do you think that is?
Well, I was going to ask, do you think it has anything to do with crop circles, or are those two totally...
I do.
There
you go. that's
very much.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've always understood for myself. I spent a lot of time... in stone rings when I was in college, up stones, among bluestones and stuff from the Northeast in upstate New York.
Yeah.
And then when I lived in Massachusetts, up at Mystery Hill and such. But I also, the first time I ever went to Stonehenge, they hadn't roped it off yet, and there was a nasty hurricane hitting England when we were there. It was really funny. And you park your car on one side of the road at Salisbury Plain, and you walk through this tunnel that goes underneath the road, and you come up onto the plain where the ring of stones is, that is Stonehenge. And I have always understood that all of these stones, I call them hummers. They resonate. If you get up on them, you can actually, and you open yourself up to it energetically. You can feel them. They're hummers. They're all through, you know. Where are they located in south of France? There's a whole, God, vast field of rows and rows of these monoliths. They are hummers. They're resonating. They're like earth tuning forks.
Oh, yeah.
And
And that makes, that brings me to the comment that with these stones, there's so much energy here right now, and I know why I work so hard to climb higher in this consciousness and help myself and help the people around me, because I know this happiness and this freedom. I understand what it is. So I want to do everything in my power to have that more and more, and therefore create the world that I want, that doesn't have to go into extinction, that everyone can, as many people as possible, can raise their consciousness. So I understand the more I raise my consciousness, the more I manifest the reality that I want, which means that everyone, or as many people as possible, are raising as well, which only helps me, because that means that the world that I live in is such a is a more beautiful and conducive place to the love that I'm looking for. So these stones, this energy, you know, I'm sure the stones that could resonate 20 years ago are now just teeming with you know, maybe you just have to be slightly sensitive and you can feel the vibration hardcore. You don't have to search so hard. So all the tools seem to be here for us in creating the world we want.
I think you're right, though. Everything is here.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be open enough and not go, oh, poof, poof, you know, you don't know what you're talking about kind of thing. We really have to be open. And I think that's one of the things. People are opening in ways that they couldn't imagine before.
That's right. Right. And we're
it's
so difficult.
They are.
There's so much work before. And now,
if you
do the work, you can get it so quick. Like you said, you know, things that would have taken you months to get over, now you just decide. You go, okay, I can do this. I don't have to be locked into this kind of a feeling or this kind of a lower consciousness. I don't have to be. Let's just fix it, because we know that's more comfortable. And then
Do you suppose that that is, and I agree with you guys, I agree with you both on that. Things are available to us if we're willing to flip the switch.
Right, flip it,
I'm wondering, do you think that this translates into the power of changing the leadership of this whole planet right now? I mean, look at Assad and what he's doing every day. I mean, he's a hideous monster. He's murdering his people. I mean, this is horrible what's going on in Syria. And the continuation of it again in Cairo, in Egypt. How do we translate that? How do whole cultures, because they're doing it, Nicole, they are doing it. Look at the Arab Spring and what has happened. And look what Occupy did by changing a whole conversation of politics in this country.
Yeah.
But the other side is pressing back, you know, just evilly. I mean, how else do you go about this? How do you explain it other than the polarities of dark and light? And, I get accused of being dramatic.
It's a Star Wars battle. Absolutely not. It is Luke Skywalker against, you know, the Death Star. That's exactly what's happening, isn't it? I mean, it's no longer a metaphor, is it?
No. That's what everybody's saying. This is it. Yeah, it's the same.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying this is it, and yet the corporate message, I got to tell you, I've been spending the last like 5 or 6 days more just working through Twitter, because I started a new account for Daughters of ISIS. And I'm so much nicer on Twitter.
I don't get so angry. I just sort of, because
I don't want to come from an angry place with daughters, you know. If it's
important.
I turn off people who are all, you know, all negative with their posts or whatever. It's like, think what you want to think, but you know, once I see all kinds of fucking this and blah, 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 I'm just like, all right. You know, it's not the vibration I'm looking for.
Right. But that's what I guess, because I post so many things on Facebook that are depressing and down, but I think that they're important that people know. But then
you
go on a streak and just post a few crazy things or some pretty, like, beautiful pictures and, you know, some, like, the other side, just to, like, for my own sanity, for one thing, but, you know, just to sort of lighten things a bit. And I've seen other people do that. You know, you just can't stay down and mad all the time.
No, you can't. I cruised through a journey with Roundtree 7 before we came on this show, and I sort of went off here and went off there and said, are you fucking kidding me? The world is mad. And I closed the door. I said, I gotta take an energy shower.
Well, now, mad can be, you know, it could be good.
Good,
Because it's bringing about changes. And
yes, it is.
So, you know, now change isn't always good, but many times it is. And the changes that are coming now in the long run are going to be good. But I still think we've got a lot of bumps to go through and over.
Yeah.
Or around,
yeah.
Under, however we get there. But it's going to happen. So I just think that whole thing, as long as, you know, we know, like Nicole was saying, focus, focus, focus. And there's things that a lot of us do. If we don't, we probably should, we know. I mean, as far as like meditating, doing these different things, and I think that helps raise our energy. It helps raise the planet's energy. And we should, and I'm talking to myself here, you know, not skip it. it's really important.
Yeah. You really have to make all the steps, don't you, right now?
Well,
I've noticed that as well.
Yeah.
We have to remember, as you're saying, the tools, like the group or planetary meditations. Thank you so much. And before we get off, will you please mention Tuesday again? And I want to remember to mention that working with water and with subtle healers, the homeopathy of flower essences, and just charging our water. I mean, didn't we all watch What the Bleep and see how fascinatingly transformative drinking a bottle of water that's been charged with the simple words, sincerely, thank you, written on them, how much better people's energy got after a week of doing that, you know?
I bought all those books by that man, and I just love it. But
Dr. Emoto. I did too. And I know, because I create flower essences, I realize that the resonance and charged energy of water is extraordinarily healing. And it really, if nothing else, you know, it comes under the purview of it could night.
Well, so much is water. Between the oceans being the most mass on our planet, to us being 97% water, to the air, to the atmosphere, to the clouds, it's all water. I mean, everything is not on fire. It's all water.
It's quite true.
Our moon, you know how it affects the water and the tides. And there's places on Earth I've read that when the moon is full, it actually can move, I guess there's water under the Earth, but I mean, for like feet, it can move it up.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're so tied, interconnected to our universe, our multiverse. Just like you said, I mean, we're so much water, and there's water everywhere around here. Yeah.
Well, we know that water is the electricity that we use to penetrate between veils. So, I mean, that is the doorway. Water is the electricity, especially to someone who's learning to open their third eye and to look beyond and grasp kind of confirmation.
And what you said, Gwen, about water, you're always protected in water. That really does give you that great sense.
Yeah. You know, I'm a good kelp. Yeah. I know anytime somebody's chasing my ass down on another level, I just jump in the pool, man. Then come on, bring it. Bring it now.
Yeah.
Your ass
safe
is
house.
Fine.
Safe house. Yeah, absolutely. Can't touch me here.
Yeah.
And
bring old King Lizard on down. I'm good.
And it does help you to soar because you do feel that comfort. So you don't have to worry about, like I always say, I go into the bath because my body can relax and I feel suspended. So then my mind and my consciousness can go and do whatever it feels the need to do. So it really does. It is a great releaser, and also knowing that whatever you're manifesting in those meditations in water, you know that it carries so far. And I've been, my newest meditation that really brought me the most joy most recently was just meditating on the feelings and the concepts of joy, peace, or love, and also the elements. Like sitting in a pool of water in the consciousness in the universe, and also feeling air or feeling fire, it seems to really work really well with balancing all sides of myself and just sitting in those different vibrations.
Right.
Okay, that sounds like a wonderful segue into the cosmic elements, magnetism, radiation, light waves. And resonance, sound, those are cosmic elements, and our planet seems to be resonating very deeply with that sound element right now. So I have a feeling that the planet is trying to talk to us right now.
Oh, I agree.
Beyond the elemental expression of weather. And earth changes. I think our mother is really trying to talk to us right now.
Yes.
And I think messaging has been very explicit with cross circles. You know, those are mathematically elegant messages that we've been receiving. And they're sitting on studying them instead of allowing themselves to express what they truly are and put some kind of manifestation of healing behind it, as I think they're meant to be, you know? I make resonance, little essences of them by just using the pictures. Do you know what I mean?
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Because I don't know how else to actually embrace that right now, because I simply haven't been led to the right information or instruction or whatever interpretations, but something I wanted to suggest that I hope it's like suggesting to folks that they wear their Guy Fawkes mask on backwards to go grocery shopping so they can have people ask them what it's all about and bring awareness up. I think we should be carrying either rose quartz, you know, tumbled rose quartz, or crystals. If you know, the best is just a crystal, a raw crystal that we charge with healing and love, and whenever we're close to the water, and I know, Nick, you're right on the water, to get it in our oceans and lakes, to give back to the earth what is hers, her jewels, and with a message of healing and love from those of us who share and are trying very hard to take back stewardship correctly of the planet, no?
Mm-hmm. I think that's excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do that.
Yeah, and helping it to calm itself. I watched the whole thing on one of the emails from Roundtree 7. It was 2 hours and 37 minutes, and I stuck through the whole thing, and it was all about this planetary change and how the core, our core of our planet is shifting, and all of this heat is coming through. And I totally lost my train of thought.
That's okay. That's okay. Because we're at the end of the hour. I know that Ruth Ann actually has to go on to her own show.
Yeah. Ladies, thank you so much. Thank you. thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for coming on. You know, it seems as if we didn't get to speak enough and that I didn't hear as much as I would love to of what you had to say.
Yeah, you should come back, Ruthann.
I will. And I'll have you guys back. Well,
yeah,
it hasn't been on, but we'll have you both. Yeah, we will do it.
Cool.
Okay,
great.
Thank you very much. Okay.
You're most welcome, and we're going down for the end of the hour ourselves, so I'll be going over and listening to you. So,
okay. All right. Goodbye for now.
All right. Very good. Good talking to you.
So, and I know, Nicole, you actually have
I got hardware happening. Yeah.
I want to thank our chat room, as always, for being here with us this evening. It was a nice show. It was great to have Ruthann on. Please, everybody, go on over to Progress Towards Tomorrow. It's the Forward Blitz tonight with Brian, Ruthann, and Dennis. They're talking some very left politics over there, which is always something I'm willing to hear and listen to and give to, you know. Take participation, and I'm doing the menopause dance. What is it? Rosie O'Donnell calls it the pause. I'm in the pause, baby. I occasionally lose my estrogen levels, and so therefore my memory goes south.
Yeah, well, I think everybody is going through some sort of shift like that. You know, the pause part of it. You know,
yeah,
so
it
you don't.
Is.
We all have a touch of the pause right now.
I think you're right.
So
yeah, and that
good
reminds
time.
Me. That reminds me. I also want to tout some transitions. And next week when we come on, we'll talk about the transitions, site, and that author, Denise LaFay, and what she has to say about changing consciousness right now.
Right.
I want to thank, as I said, the guests who came in, Mr.
Yeah.
Silberry, who was in with us, and Opinionology, and also Mr. Pinko the Bear.
Yes.
Listening in with us this evening, and thank my co-host, Nicole Tomasini, and the I Love Nicole Show. Over on YouTube, please don't miss it.
Right.
And have I forgotten anything?
Nope. You got
nope.
it.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, we're doing well then.
You
know, we came in with a little Joni Mitchell. We're gonna go out with a little bit of Occupy Love, I call it, and it's a little theme from the Occupy group that is more positive. Say why. So until next Thursday, Nicole, thanks for being with me. Say hello to Zion for me.
I absolutely will do that.
Okay. Alrighty. So that's our show for this evening, and oh my God, I can't believe it. our good pal. See, Nolan just walked through the door to hear us say we're going to do a little send off.
Say adios.
Our show for tonight.
Yeah.
So, anyways, cool. Thank you all for being here. And Nick, I'll see you next week.
Very good. Good night, everyone.
This movement isn't about the 99% defeating or toppling the 1%. You know, the next chapter of that story, which is that the 99% create a new 1%. That's not what it's about. What we want to create is the more beautiful world our hearts tell us is possible, a sacred world, a world that works for everybody, a world that is healing, a world of peace. You can't just say, we demand a world of peace. Demands have to be specific. Anything that people can articulate can only be articulated within the language of the current political discourse. And that entire political discourse is already too small. And that's why making explicit demands kind of reduces the movement and takes the heart out of it. And so it's a real paradox. And so I think that the movement actually understands that. The system isn't working for the 1% either. You know, if you were a CEO, you would be making the same choices they do. The institutions have their own logic. Life is pretty bleak at the top, too. And all of the baubles of the rich, they're kind of this phony compensation for the loss of what's really important, the loss of community, the loss of connection, the loss of intimacy, the loss of meaning. Everybody wants to live a life of meaning. And today, we live in a money economy where we don't really depend on the gifts of anybody, but we buy everything. Therefore, we don't really need anybody, because whoever grew my food or made my clothes or built my house, well, if they died or if I alienate them, if they don't like me, that's okay. I can just pay somebody else to do it. And it's really hard to create community if the underlying knowledge is we don't need each other. So people kind of get together and they act nice, or maybe they consume together. But joint consumption doesn't create intimacy. Only joint creativity and gifts create intimacy and connection. You have such gifts that are important. Just like every species has an important gift to give to an ecosystem, and the extinction of any species hurts everybody. The same is true of each person. That you have a necessary and important gift to give. And that for a long time our minds have told us that maybe we're imagining things, that it's crazy to live according to what you want to give. But I think now, as more and more people wake up to the truth that we're here to give, and wake up to that desire, and wake up to the fact that the other way isn't working anyway, the more reinforcement we have from people around us that this isn't crazy. This makes sense. This is how to live. And as we get that reinforcement, then our minds and our logic no longer have to fight against the logic of the heart, which wants us to be of service. This shift of consciousness that inspires such things is universal in everybody, 99% and 1%, and it's awakening in different people in different ways. I think love is the felt experience of connection to another being. An economist says that essentially more for you is less for me, but the lover knows that more for you is more for me too. If you love somebody, then their happiness is your happiness. Their pain is your pain. Your sense of self expands to include other beings. That's love. Love is the expansion of the self to include the other. And that's a different kind of revolution. There's no one to fight. There's no evil to fight. There's no other in this revolution. Everybody has a unique calling. And it's really time to listen to that. That's what the future is going to be. It's time to get ready for it and to help contribute to it and make it happen.
Here Be Monsters, The Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini of the I Love Nicole Show on YouTube. And I'm your other host, 11H Barry. Please join me tomorrow for Friday Mic Check at 4 p.m. with Here Be Monsters. Thank you for being here tonight.